right, it's good to see you tonight at the Bible Stands. We're using the acrostic to the word Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the B for basic. Yesterday we saw repent, believe, and thou shalt be saved. Today we're looking at instructions. I'm going to tell you a story about a man who followed instructions. So important. There we go. Kevin getting himself a Bible here. All right. So let's go ahead and start the way we did last night with our pledges to the flag. So let's go ahead and stand to our feet. And we're going to start with the American flag. Right hand salute. Ready? Attention, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And then of course to the Christian flag over here with the cross on it. It's ready. Attention, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. And then tonight to the Bible. Go ahead and take your Bible. If you do not have one, put your right hand over your heart. Look at this one. If not, take your Bible, stick your right hand on the Bible, and let's pledge to the Word of God. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy Word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Very good. You may be seated. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, the opportunity to study your word and to hear the message tonight dealing with the Bible Stands, the word of God, the inspired word of God. We thank you for speaking to us in your love letter to each and every one of us personally, that we might draw closer to thee, and most of all, that we might know what it means to have eternal life, to spend eternity with you. Father, I also want to pray for Pastor as he's working and moving, that you'll keep him safe, protect him, I pray, that we might see him tomorrow, and that he'll be able to go to work as well in the morning, and that you'll bless him in a very special way. We thank you for him, and we praise you, and thank you so much for bringing him into our midst, that he might be the pastor here of this local church. Use him, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, I have a few songs here, and I need your help. Remember, Nancy tells me all the time I can't sing. So we got it. Yeah, I need your help. Okay? So here we go. Let's sing. The VBS Sure Is Fun. Hey, all right. You probably know this one. VBS Sure Is Fun. It's, what is it? VBS. It's This Old Man, right? This Old Man. I bet she knows it. Here we go. All right. This Old Man. Sing nice and loud. Cover my voice. Okay? Here we go. VBS Sure Is Fun. Bring more kids in one by one. Fill the church up, way up. Fill it to the door. Then go out and get some more. You bring one, I'll bring two. Just as Jesus wants us to. Fill the church up, way up. Fill it to the door. Then go out and get some more. Oh, you know, we've got to do that one again. You can't do the motion sitting down, right? So let's go ahead and stand up. And let's see if we can get the motions right, okay? Here we go. All right. Hey, he brought his Bible. Three of them. There we go. Register. You get points for bringing your Bible. Here we go. Let's do it again. VBS Sure Is Fun. Bring more kids in one by one. Fill the church up way up. Fill it to the door. Then go out and get some more. You bring one, I'll bring two. Just as Jesus wants us to. Fill the church up, way up. Fill it to the door. Then go out and get some more. Very good. And then this neat little song, we're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. You got the music for that one too? All right, here we go. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School, Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. This is the best place we could be. We get to learn that Jesus loves us and make new friends who've come to join us. We'll hear exciting stories and play some games at Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School, Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. This is the best place we could be. This is the best place we could be. Let's go! Yeah, all right, here we go. Oh, yep. And then the Bible stand. This is a neat little song. I sang this my whole life. My dad had a little, great big little booklet that he held to. So I've sung this one for years. Do you have the music to this one too? I bet it is. The Bible stands. I think it's a hymn book. What was it? 400 what? 467. It is. Okay, let's go ahead and sit down. You may be seated. As long as you keep singing as loud as you were, right? Here we go. It's like a what? Oh, is it? Okay. The Bible stands like a rock, undoubted midst the raging storm of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone, I expect to live it and to prove and to make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. All right, then this blessed old book, Obed, he knows this one really well, right? Come on up here. Give me a hand. Here we go. All right, it is well. Yes, you lead it, brother.
And dry, and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When this world gets so dark, I can't see. And I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. blessed old book that I hold in my hand. It's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who've gone to the stake and quoted with their dying breath. Now its critics are many, believers are few, but one thing I found to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. Blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Very good, all right. Yesterday's memory verse was John 3:16. Can you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are the theme verses. There's our verse of yesterday. Today is Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we quoted that verse in the pledge to the Bible, remember? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So those two verses, how are you guys doing on your memory work? Are they doing memory verses this week? Are they working on them? Yes? Are they working on the memory verses? Okay. Yep. All right. Good. Excellent. Okay. I think now it is time for the message, right? Yeah. Amen. Is that okay? Yes. All right. This morning, we're going to look at a story from the Word of God. And remember yesterday, that word story, sometimes I trip over that little word because a lot of times when we think of a story, we think about a once upon a time. But no, this here is an actual account, something that actually happened, and all found in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the inspired Word of God, and we can believe everything that has to say, because the Word of God is important. We can stand upon it, we can believe every word, we can trust it, and pattern our lives after it. Well, here today, I want to share with you a story with the help of my dear friend, Rodney. He's going to come and help me share with you a story about the biggest boat that was ever built. And by the way, that's not the Titanic. This boat is found in the Word of God. So you listen to this important story with the help of my dear friend Rodney. So let's sit back in our seats. Be very quiet, okay? No talking. Don't be talking. Let's focus on the message today because it's very important in what the Word of God has to say. So you listen to this important story from the Word of God today. You listen.
It's my turn. I get to get out. Hey, this is exciting. Are there people here?
Oh, yeah, there's people. Any girls?
Oh, yeah, there's girls. Okay, good to see you. Hey, thanks for coming. It's good to see you today. Here we go. We got a story to tell you today. Land ho! Get out the cannons. Fire one. Turn by diesel.
Hold it. Wait. What are you doing? You said we're going to tell a story about a boat.
That's right. We are going to tell a story about a boat. It's got a sail. It's got a turbine diesel engine. It's got F-16s and a cannon.
Hold it. Wait a second. Rodney, this boat does not have any F-16s.
No F-16s?
Mm-mm.
Nope. Cannons?
No cannons.
Turbine diesel engine?
No. It doesn't have a turbine diesel engine. No sail. No sail. No turn the helm. What's a helm? It's like a steering wheel. You turn the helm to the right, the boat goes right. You turn it to the left, the boat goes left. No, the boat does not have a helm. No helm, no sail, no turbine diesel engine. Oh, this sounds very boring. I'm going to take a nap. Anyway, God told me. No. To build this boat, because he's going to destroy it right now. It's about time you get involved in this story. This is a very important story without F-16. Yeah, without F-16. The Bible tells us that God was going to destroy the world right now. No, not right now. Back then in the days of Noah, you see, man chose to disobey God. Man didn't live for God at all. So they decided to live in sin, and the Bible shares with us that God got tired of the wickedness of man. So he talked to one individual by the name of Noah. Noah, huh? You see, God told Noah to build an ark. How come? Well, because he's going to save all the people in the world who trust and by faith believe in him. How many men are on the ark? Well, the Bible shares with us that there are only eight. Only eight? Mm-hmm. Noah, yeah, his wife, and his three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's it. And Shem, Ham, and Japheth also had wives, which is a total to eight. It must have been a very small boat. No. God wanted Noah to build it so big that if anybody by faith believes that God's going to do what he says, they can get into the ark. That only eight? That's right, only eight. But God also told Noah to put all the animals in the world on the ark. What did you say? All the animals. It must have stank on the ark. Yeah. Yeah, in any case, the Bible shares with us that he was to build this ark, and it wasn't very small. In fact, the Bible shares with us that it was 300 cubits long. What did you say? 300 cubits long. Do you know what a cubit is? I didn't think so. Do you have the calculator? No, I do not have a calculator. Okay, I'll do it in my head. Let's see, that's 450 feet long. Yeah, and not only that, but it was 50 cubits wide. Hold it, wait a second. There he goes with the cubits again. You got a calculator? No, I'll do it in my head. Let's see, that's 75 feet wide. And not only that, but it was 30 cubits high. There he goes with the cubits again. You got a calculator? No, I don't have. Okay, I'll do it in my head. You see, that's 45 feet high. Not only that, but it's 100,000 square feet, 1,396,000 cubic feet, and a cargo capacity of 35,000 tons. How did you do that? Well, it's because I'm no dummy. In any case, it was a huge boat for the purpose to save all the animals in the world. Like what? Well, first of all, there were cows on the ark. Hold it. Wait a second. What's a cow? A cow. You know, it's got four legs. It goes moo. Oh, doldines. Yeah. What's a bovine scientific name for a cow? I see. And then there were horses. Wait a second. Hold it. What's a horse? A horse. It's got four legs. You put a saddle on. Oh, equines. What's an equine scientific name for a horse? And then there were pigs. Hold it. Wait a second. What's a pig? A pig. You know, it's got four legs. It goes oink, oink. Oh, tarsines. Let me guess. Scientific name for a pig. You got it. Old people can learn. Yeah. In any case, the Bible shares with us that there were several. I know another animal. You know another animal in the ark. I sure do. Okay, what was that? Ventriloquist. Never mind. In any case, God told Noah to build this ark for a purpose of saving all the animals in the world. Noah obeyed God. Did exactly what God wanted him to do. Oh, he had lots of things to do. Oh, no, he was very bored. What do you mean Noah was bored? He can't play any games. What do you mean he can't play any games? He's standing on the deck. And not only that, he could also go fishing. Noah can't.
Wait a second. Why can't Noah go fishing? He's only got two worms.
I see.
In any case, the Bible shares with us that Noah did exactly what God asked him to do. He served the Lord and built the ark to the specifications that God told him to build them. All because Noah was faithful, we're here in the world today.
Well, it's important to follow the instructions and do exactly what God wants us to do. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? You going to tell them more about this?
I certainly am, Rodney.
Hey, we'll see you guys later. Thanks for coming. Hey, this is exciting. Are you sure no turbine diesel engine in the ark?
No, Rodney, no turbine diesel engine.
No sail?
Nope.
No helm?
Nope. They didn't have anywhere to go.
Well, I guess so. Hey, we'll see you guys later.
I don't know. Sounded pretty boring to me.
Hey, we'll see you guys later. Take it easy. Hey, Rodney. So long. Bye.
That is Rodney. And the story of Noah. Powerful story. And as we look at this important story and the fact that Noah did exactly what God asked him to do. He followed the instruction. Did exactly what God told him to do. You know, Noah, he could have looked up at God and said, no, God, you know, I get seasick. I think instead of building the ark, I should build this high tower. Then I can crawl up in the high tower and I can be in the tower and I won't have to get seasick. But you know, Noah followed God's instructions. He did exactly what God asked him to do. So first of all, point number one is Noah's walk with God. Because Noah did walk with God. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6, I like this verse, verse 9. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 says this. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. That's a pretty important phrase. Noah walked with God. You know, in order to walk with somebody, isn't it true that you have to be walking in the same direction? It's true, isn't it? And not only is it true that in order to walk with somebody, you have to be walking in the same direction, but you also have to be headed for the same destination. And not only that, you also need to be walking in step. Noah did exactly what God asked him to do. He walked with God. And the question is, are we walking with God? Has there ever been a time when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? Not somebody else's, but our Savior. Let me share with you just how Noah walked with God and how he was faithful to him. I have up here some cards. And these cards here are pictures of different animals. And I want to share with you, this is very important, that God told Noah to bring those animals two by two, right? The question is, did Noah follow God? But also, when God told Noah to bring those animals two by two, it's important to realize that there was a blue elephant and there was also a pink elephant. In other words, there was a boy elephant and there was a girl elephant. Isn't that true? I mean, if God would have put a boy elephant and a boy elephant, we wouldn't have elephants in the world, right? God had a boy and a girl. There was a purpose for that. There's a reason for that. In the world today, for some reason, people have got this all mixed up and all misplaced. The purpose of marriage is to produce children. And when the world messes it all up like they do, they can't have children. They're not doing what God told them to do. They are living in disobedience. And you know, a lot of people think, well, that means God hates homosexuals. No, God doesn't hate homosexuals. He hates their sin. He hates their sin, but he loves them. So not only do I have I know I am not colorblind. I know I called it a blue elephant and I also call it a pink elephant. I know it's really not pink, but to get the point across, there's a boy elephant and a girl elephant, okay? The same thing with chickens. We got a blue chicken and we got a pink chicken. There were two chickens for the purpose of reproducing so that we have all those animals in the world. We also have a blue pig and we have a pink pig. Well, at least pink. And then we got a blue monkey and we got a pink monkey. And we have a blue zebra And we got a pink zebra. And then we have a tiger, a blue tiger, and a pink tiger, a boy and a girl for the purpose of reproducing. And God tells us, in fact, when Adam and Eve were created, God told them to reproduce, replenish, fill the earth. That's God's command. It never changed. It never changed. It's always been God's command. And when we do contrary things of this world, we're not obeying God. We're not walking with Him. So I have these different animals here. I'm going to put them all in one stack here. And then I'm going to mix them up, okay? So what we're going to do here is I'm mixing them up in just a little bit. I'll ask you if you'd like me to stop. We're just going to mix these up real good. And what we're going to do is we're going to find out if Noah did exactly what God told him to do. And we're going to spell out the words, bring them two by two, okay? And I'm going to ask for volunteers. Volunteers, you can just remain seated right where you are, okay? You don't have to move. You can stay right where you are. And we're going to spell out the words, bring them two by two. Can I stop mixing these now? Are they mixed up good enough? Okay, here we go. So I'm going to place them in two different piles. Here we go. One, two, three, four, five, and six. There we go. We got two piles now. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to spell out the words, bring them two by two. When I'm done spelling the word, I'm going to lift the first card, and we're going to see if they match. Did Noah do exactly what God told him to do? Did he listen to God? So as I'm spelling it, and I call a volunteer, if you want me to switch decks, holler switch, okay? So Abed, could you be number one? You can stay right where you are. You don't need to come up here. Stay right where you are. And we're going to spell the word bring them two by two. You got the word bring, B-R-I-N-G. So with each letter, I'm going to take a card from the top and put it on the bottom for each letter. If you want me to switch decks, holler switch, okay? You got it? Here we go. So here's B, R, I, N, G. Okay, so did Noah do what God told him to do? Did Noah obey God? Look at that! Two zebras! A pink one and a blue one. A boy and a girl. Noah did do what God asked him to do, didn't he? So let's try it again. Here we go. Who would like to volunteer this time? How about Susan? You want to volunteer? So bring them, the word them, T-H-E-M, okay? So if you want me to switch, call switch. You ready? Here we go. T-H-E, oh, she's tricky, M. Okay, let's find out. Did Noah do what God told him to do? Did he obey? He sure did. A pink chicken and a blue chicken. Exactly what God asked him to do. So there's bring them. Now the word two. And you spell two, T-O, right? No? How about T-O-O? No, still wrong? What is it, Molly? Two, yes. How do you spell two? T-W-O. Thank you. Very good. So we're going to spell the word two, T-W-O. I need a hand. Can you help me? You raise your hand before. We'll let you do this one, okay? Are you ready? You got to go fast because there's only three letters. Here we go. T-W-O. Whoa. Oh, okay, let's find out. Did Noah do what God told him to do? Did he listen? Look at that. Two tigers, a pink one and a blue one. All right. So bring them two. Now the word by. B-Y. B-Y. Who would like to volunteer? All right, Molly. You just have two. B-Y. Okay, so you got to go fast. Here we go. B-Y. You don't want me to switch? Okay. All right, let's find out. Did Noah do what God told him to do? Did he listen? He did. Look at that. A pink monkey and a blue monkey. Noah did obey God. He did listen. Here we go. So bring them two by. Now two again. T-W-O. Three letters. Three. Anybody who would like to volunteer this time? You want to volunteer? Got three letters, right? Bring them two by two. T-W-O. You ready? Here we go. T-W. Switch. Oh, man. She's fast. There we go. Two. Now let's find out. Did Noah do what God asked him to do? Did he obey? He sure did. Two elephants, a pink one and a blue one. He obeyed God. And then, of course, we just got two more. They have to match. They've got to match, right? There's just no way they're not going to. So there we go. A pink pig and a blue one. And what did Rodney say was the scientific name for a pig?
You don't.
A porcine. Porcine. Yeah, pretty close. Noah did exactly what God asked him to do. And you know, we need to obey God as well. You know, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, as we see our sin the way God sees our sin, that we're sinners, that we're bound for hell. And the Bible says, believe on my Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that he is the Son of God, that he's that we've sinned against God, and that he's the only one perfect and without sin that we can trust in, and ask him to forgive us of our sin. So Noah was a man who obeyed God. He walked with God. He did exactly what God asked him to do. But not only do we want to look at the fact that Noah walked with God, but secondly, Noah's work for God. You know, Noah did exactly what God told him to do. He followed instructions. He did everything that God commanded of him to do. In fact, I like this verse in Genesis 6, verse 22. Look at this. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I like that verse. He listened to God, didn't he? He obeyed God. And you know, we need to do the same thing. Here's God's instructions right here. Here's how to live our lives pleasing and glorifying to him. But most of all, it tells us about the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to earth, that he died on the cross for our sin, but he didn't remain in the tomb. He destroyed sin. In fact, the last enemy that's going to die is death. And oh, that's such a comfort to me. I see death all around us, and it hurts, doesn't it, when someone that we love so much passes away and goes off to eternity. We're so thankful when they know Christ as their Savior. We know where they are. But if they don't, we're not sure. We don't know if maybe they, by chance, accepted the Savior, but haven't been living for him, or maybe they didn't trust him at all. We don't know. That means they'll be in hell. That hurts. And it's disappointing, because death is all around us, all because of sin. But God tells us how we can defeat sin and how sin can be destroyed right here in his word. I've got an illustration I want to share with you. I have here a Bible. And you know, there's people in the world today who look at the Bible and they say, there's nothing within. There's nothing there. Why even study it? It's just an old book that doesn't mean anything. It's no book. It's just empty. There's nothing there. And people laugh and mock the Word of God. But God's Word is filled with so many truths. The Bible tells us that when we look deep within and we begin to read it, that God's Word tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the world in which we live. Not only did he create this world, but he also created the moon and the sun and the stars. You know, the earth rotates and a day is gone. The moon rotates around the earth and a month is past. The earth rotates around the sun and a year has gone by. All of that is hung on nothing, and it doesn't even fall down. Isn't that important? Our God is an awesome God, and we can believe in him. Did you know that if you put all of your DNA in a row, your DNA is something you cannot see with the naked eye, but the DNA is what makes you you. And if anything in that DNA isn't right, you don't exist. And if you put that DNA end to end, it will go to the moon and back 3 times. That's a lot of information just to be a mishap, just to be an accident. There had to have been a designer. There had to have been a designer. Did you know that your veins and your arteries will go around the earth 3 times? You are important. You are created in the image of God. But you know, there's people in the world today that look at the Word of God and say, oh, but it's just an empty book. It's not important. We don't need to study it, but God's Word is true. His Word is true. There are so many wonderful truths in his Word that we need to read, that we need to study, because his Word is true. Don't look at the Word of God and just say, it's empty, because it's not empty. It's filled with so many truths that we need to know. The Bible stands. It is the inspired Word of God. And it's important. The most important thing to remember is this. For all have
sin and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned against God. And because of our sin, the Bible says we're going to spend eternity in hell because God hates sin. But God loved us so much that what did he do? He sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died for the sins of the world. And that if we as a sinner realize that we're lost, condemned, and headed for hell, we're to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we accept him as our Savior, know what he'll do? He will cleanse us as white as snow, that we might spend eternity with him. And you know, if you realize that you're a sinner, that you're lost, condemned, and headed for hell, and you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cleanses you as white as snow, there's a wonderful truth that we find in his word, and that is that one day we will walk on streets of gold. That's a promise of God, that we'll spend eternity with him if you know him as your Savior today. But you know, if there's been a time in your life when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know that it's your sin that separates you from God. You call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you of your sin. He cleanses you as white as snow, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to walk on streets of gold. Shouldn't it then also be important to grow and to flourish and to prosper in our walk with God? What a powerful book. This is a book that is filled with wonderful truths. Don't look at the Word of God and say, but it's just an empty book, because it's not. It's filled with some wonderful truths that we can cling to, the promise of God. But not only do we want to look, first of all, at Noah's walk with God. Wow, look at this mess. Who made this mess? Not only do we want to look at the fact that Noah walked with God, but also the fact that Noah's work for God, his desire to do exactly what God told him to do, so did he. But I also want to look at Noah's worthiness from God. You know, just because Noah built the ark doesn't mean that he's saved. He too, by faith, had to believe God's word, believe in his word to get into that ark, that one door. And you know, there's only one door to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. To call upon his name, because only through Christ can we have eternal life. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here a rope. This rope here, have I told you I like ropes? This rope here represents our lives. And you know, this rope here, it is quite long. There we go. And this rope here reminds us of Adam and Eve, and how Adam and Eve had a beautiful relationship with God. It was one long rope. They had a relationship with God, but you know, there was a time in Adam and Eve's life when they chose to sin against God. And when they chose to sin against God, their relationship with God was severed. It was destroyed. So I'm going to take this rope here, and I am going to find the center of this rope, just like this. I'm going to bring it up here, just like this, and I'm going to take this rope. Oh man, this is hard to do. Pray for me, would you? I can't believe I'm about to do this. I'm going to take this rope, and I'm going to cut it in half, because our relationship with God has been destroyed. So I'm going to cut this. Oh, this is hard. Oh man. I'll drop this end here, and drop this end here, and then I'm going to take this rope, and I'm going to tie it into a knot. Here we go. Just like this. Because you see, our relationship with God has been destroyed. It has been ruined, all because of sin. So I'm going to tie it here in a knot if I can. Here we go. Just like that. And there it is. A knot right there in the middle of my rope. Isn't that terrible? And then I'm going to take this end here, and I'm going to tie this in too. Yep, here we go. Tie this in. Just like this. Let's see here. What am I doing here? Here we go. Just like that. Into a square knot. Just like that. And I'm going to tie this end also into a square knot. just like this. Here we go. Just like that. And then I'm going to cut it in half again, twice. This is terrible. This is hard to do. Watch this. I'm going to cut this rope in half right here. And I'm going to come over here. And I'm going to cut this rope in half too. Oh, man. Oh, man, that hurts. And there we have it. A rope with three knots in it. All because of sin. It has destroyed our relationship with God. But, you know, man comes along and says, hey, I can clean this up myself. You know, if I work hard enough and I help an old lady across the street. And by the way, we don't have any old ladies here today to help cross, so it's not going to do you any good. So we'll just kind of clean up our lives here. And you know, I just kind of, I don't swear, you know, and I don't smoke and I don't drink. And I just really try to clean up my life and make my life really look good, you know, and just kind of trim it up here just like that. Oh, man, doesn't that look good now? Here we go. Here it. Uh-oh. But there's still three knots in this rope. All because our relationship with God has been severed. It has been destroyed. Man says, but can't I do that? No, we can't do it ourselves. There's nothing we can do, not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You see, Noah, there's just one door in the ark, just one. A picture of Christ and what he's done for us. There's only one way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said, I am the door, the good shepherd. The one and only one that we must trust by faith and believe in him. So I have a rope here with three knots in it. Oh, how can I have my relationship restored as it was before? It's destroyed. I'm a slave to my sin. I'm in the slave market of sin. I can't do anything but sin against God. But there's only one way, and that's through Christ. So here I need a helper. I need a young lady to come up. How about this young lady right on the end here? Would you be willing to come up here and help me? Can you help me? There you go. Come on up here. Will you stand right here on that step? Stand right there. Very good. Do you know how to blow out a candle? You know, go, can you blow? Can you blow? Blow? Okay, so what I want you to do on the count of three, I want you to blow on that knot right there. Can you do that? See, our works will not get us to heaven. But if we, by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, wonderful things could happen. Watch this. On the count of three, you blow on that knot right there. You ready? One, two, three, blow. And there it goes. Just like that. Only God can do that. Only he can restore that which was broken. Only he can break the bond of sin that we might have eternal life. Here, I got another one here. Some people think, well, what if I partake of communion? Won't that mean I'll be saved? No, because communion won't save. Communion is in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. It helps us to remember that, yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and that he arose that we might have life. So on the count of three, if we by faith accept him as our Savior, watch what will happen. So on the count of three, blow on that rope right there. One, two, three, blow. And there it goes, just like that. Wow! Only God can do that. Only he can restore that which was destroyed. And you saw this one. It was cut in half. There's just no way. That's impossible. But God can do the impossible. On the count of three, blow on that one. You got to blow really hard because this is really tough. Okay? One, two, three, blow. And there it goes just like that. Only God can restore that which was destroyed. You did a wonderful job. How about a high five? Give her a hand. You may be seated. Noah's walk with God, Noah's work for God, and Noah's worthiness from God. He followed the instructions, basic instructions, instructions that he by faith believed that God was going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. Do you believe that God's going to do what he says? Do you? God's word is very clear that if we choose to reject him, we're going to spend eternity in hell because God hates sin. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God today and for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for Noah, who followed instructions, who believed your word to be true, and accepted you as the only means of eternal life, looking forward to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's one here today that's not saved, that they'll trust Jesus Christ as their Savior today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here tonight and you would say, Preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I don't know for sure if I'm saved, but I would like to speak to someone tonight and find out what it means to be born again. I want to follow God's instruction. I want to accept Him as my personal Savior. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved. I don't know Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to talk to someone tonight and find out what it means to be born again, to find out what it means to know for sure that my sins are forgiven and that my relationship with God has been restored. Anybody here tonight? I'm not saved, Preacher. I would like to talk to someone tonight. Anyone? Oh, Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I pray that you will work in hearts in ways I can't, that those that do not know Christ as their Savior, that they will trust in him before it's too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Where do we go from here? Mrs. Sicarios, are you the one in charge now? Oh, that's right. We got to take up the offering, don't we? Do we have the two buckets? All right, Mr. and Mrs. Cash, yes. Now, remember now, what are we supposed to do? Yep, we put all the money in the boys' bucket, right? Yep, we put all the money in the boys' bucket. No, that's not right? Okay, so I guess the girls...